This is Pirates of Savannah, The Hunt for Seamus's Booty, by Taryn P. Lupo and Ruby N. Hilliard, narrated by Adam Lishawa. If you enjoy this audiobook, please consider supporting the artists by purchasing the book at www.amazon.com or www.lupolit.com. Chapter 10. The Mendel Academy. The group grew excited as they could now make out a large wooden door at the end of the long, murky, puddle-filled passage. Anger filled Leo's voice. "That is messed up. I hope I run into that jerk Cooper soon. I'm going to help you get some payback." "Even if they had made me eat the pork, it would have been no sin on me. Allah would not hold me responsible for an act of aggression against me," Mohammed spoke in a sad voice. "Why does it matter so much to other people what God I believe in? I just want to be left alone, but people won't let me. It reminds me of a famous quote. The immortal Ernest Hancock says..." Wiki cut him off. "Who is Ernest Hancock? Was he a founding father or a philosopher I've never heard of?" "He is a philosopher in a way, I guess. He has one of the most popular radio shows about liberty in the world. He says there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who just want to be left alone, and those who just won't leave them alone. Which one are you?" Wiki came back with a sarcastic tone. "So wait, you're quoting a talk show host?" Crystal interrupted. "Now, I like that saying, Mo. It really simplifies people. He sounds very wise indeed. I think important messages need to be real simple because some people are about as quick as grandma running backwards." Even though nobody could see Mohammed in the dark, he was grinning ear to ear. Somebody actually liked his interest in politics and liberty. Squish, squish, squish could be faintly heard behind them. Odessa spun around and shined her light down the hall. She saw nothing but darkness. The inexpensive flashlight only pierced 20 feet into the black.
"I think that a ghost is following us, Mo, but it sounds like it's way back there. No worries, it won't ever catch us. Nobody can move faster than this muck," Crystal whispered.
"You know I don't believe in ghosts, Crystal, but it could be a djinn, I suppose," Mohammed responded.
"Darn it! I lost my left boot in this maze of slime and sludge. Now, this is more frustrating than teaching a mule to dance. Can y'all keep talking while I dig my boot out of this slop?"
Crystal begged. Odessa took charge.
"Okay, the next topic is, how did you get accepted at the Mendel Academy?"
So, just to be clear, in exchange for gardening, groundskeeping, and a few odd jobs, you will let me attend this private school for free?" Leo confirmed.
Ms. Ruby Mendel replied,
"Yep, that is the deal. Think of it as kind of like a scholarship for gardening. We grow a lot of our own organic food here, and we really need someone to help work the garden. Our last student gardener graduated, and we need a new one. We will give you a room, meals, and even a small paycheck every week to help with expenses. I talked this over with your parents, and they said the decision is yours."
The 14-year-old boy had negotiation skills that a Wall Street corporate raider would envy. Leo scratched his chin and looked to the high-priced, antique crystal chandelier hanging over the headmaster's desk.
"I think I can accept your offer for $300 a week."
The tall, thin woman with big blonde hair like Dolly Parton smiled at the boy's boldness.
"Let me repeat, you will have no expenses at all, and you will get to enjoy the same benefits the other students get. You can use the entertainment room, the arcade, the gym, and the swimming pool. It's all included. In fact, you will basically be a student, but your classes will revolve around practical horticulture. So my offer of $100 a week is more in line with what we were thinking."
Leo knew one very important rule to negotiating. Never give anything away without asking for something extra in return.
Well, we seem to be $200 apart, so I will meet you in the middle. I would like $200 a week and a 10x10 square foot section of the garden that will be all mine. I will use it to grow veggies and sell them at the farmer's market to make up the difference in pay."
Ruby was very impressed that such a young boy would think of such an inventive bargain.
"Okay, I will go up to $150 a week, and you can have your own garden."
The tall, skinny boy followed that most important negotiating rule again. Never give away anything without asking for something in return.
"All right, I will agree to $150, but to make up that difference, I want a larger 20x20 square foot garden. I will also borrow your tools and... I want a cut of the seeds you buy."
The blonde in the sundress gave in and offered her hand.
Agreed, she said.
Leo accepted the hand, shook it, and said,
Deal!
The punk rock gardener asked,
Now that negotiations are finished, why on earth did you pick me to come here for the summer?
Well, at our little academy, we are always on the lookout for exceptional children. Most kids today are content to just play video games and gossip about some reality show, but you are one of the exceptions. A friend of the Mendel Academy found out about your booming backyard plant nursery and was so fascinated with your entrepreneurial spirit, she recommended we take a look at you, Ruby explained.
Leo smiled.
Remind me to send her one of my plants to say thank you.
Ms. Mendel was impressed.
Ah, you already understand that giving special care to your best customers will keep them referring back to you. You really are quite the smart young businessman.
Anyway, come back tomorrow at 8 a.m. and you can move your things in and get started.
It was nice meeting you, Mr. Stedman.
The boy in the black flag t-shirt and gray ribbon flashed one more smile, then headed out of the office.
Scott, can you send the next one in?
She yelled into the hallway. A petite, freckle-faced girl and her mother came into the elaborate but very old office. They looked around at the collection of antiques and expensive art and froze in place.
Ladies, please have a seat, Ruby said as she pointed to the fancy wingback chairs in front of her.
Sorry, ma'am. We just had no idea this old building was so nice inside. We're kind of nervous about breaking anything,
Crystal Bennett explained as she twiddled her thumbs. The tomboy could not help but notice a large, stuffed porcupine behind Ms. Mendel's desk.
Ma'am, can I ask you why you have a large varmint mounted up behind you? I didn't think Savannah has porcupines. Why do you have it?
Ruby cracked a smile. That is true. We definitely don't have porcupines this far south. This guy here is our school mascot.
Well, that seems a strange choice for a mascot. Why'd you pick him?
Crystal's mother put her finger to her mouth and hushed her child. Her mom spoke up.
Well, I'm sorry. She's always so full of questions.
Ms. Mendel smiled, and laugh lines appeared around her lips.
It's good to be curious. The reason this academy chose a porcupine as its mascot is because of how it lives its life. It is a non-violent creature that just wants to be left alone. Our quill-covered friend makes its way through life peacefully, but you don't want to tread on it. At this school, we try to remind children that violence against your fellow man is always the worst way to do things. We encourage and embrace non-violent solutions to all of life's problems. You will even hear people around town refer to our students as the Porks.
The country girl and her mom stood in front of Ms. Mendel's desk, and the mother Bennett offered her hand.
Oh, sorry, where's our manners? I'm Ms. Bennett, and this here's the joy of my life, Crystal.
Ruby stood up and shook their hands.
Thank you so much for coming. Please have a seat. A friend of the academy informed us you might be a perfect fit for our school.
Refusing to sit, Ms. Bennett interrupted.
Wait, Ms. Mendel, let me stop you right here. Since Crystal can't work out at that barn no more, I can't work double shifts waiting tables, so our money just got cut in half. Not to mention, I'm a single mother who can't even afford a babysitter. I'm going to have to bring my daughter with me to the diner all summer long.
Mama Bennett sighed in frustration.
There's no way we can afford this place. Thanks for considering us. It was real nice to know my daughter is smart enough to get into a place like this, she said and offered a hand of thanks.
Please sit, Ms. Bennett. I think there's a misunderstanding here. I am offering Crystal a full scholarship. You won't have to pay a thing. She will live here all summer, and we will take care of all her expenses. This will let you work double shifts again, and maybe get ahead on your bills a little bit, Ruby offered.
The girl with loosely braided hair and her mom shrugged their shoulders and finally sat down.
Crystal interjected, Well, why me? I'm barely a C student. I'm not very good at math or spelling. I'm sure you also know I failed sixth grade and had to repeat it.
Ms. Mendel explained,
You see, we are not like the traditional government or public schools you are used to. This is a very different kind of educational center. We believe forcing children to spend years learning about topics they will never use or are not interested in is a waste, and even damaging. Sadly, it turns children away from their natural love of learning.
The mother and daughter exchanged confused looks with each other.
Ruby went on, Let me explain. We focus on something called unschooling. The students decide a topic they want to learn, and we help them find the tools to steer their own education.
Ms. Bennett interrupted, Wait, are you seriously telling me that these kids have no formal classes but still learn anyway? Wouldn't they just sit around, watch TV, and play video games all day if left to their own choosing?
You would think that, but no. When children are allowed to learn what they are interested in, they are very productive. Learning is fun and not dreaded like it is when it is forced on them in the traditional school model, the blonde aging woman responded.
How on earth do you get kids to learn about tough subjects like algebra?
Ms. Bennett challenged.
Well, not all kids need algebra. It depends what they want to do. A good example is our space club. A group of kids decided they wanted to build a rocket. So, we had a meeting and I explained to them that they would need to learn and understand a large amount of engineering, math, and chemistry to make the rocket work. They realized they needed a solid understanding of these tough subjects to reach their goal and they became very interested in learning them. All I did was help them find the resources and they figured out the rest. In fact, they will be launching their first rocket at Wausau Sound this weekend, Ruby half bragged.
So, why would you want me? I don't know anything about rockets. Crystal questioned.
No, you might not know about rockets, but I hear you know horses. You see, one of the school's more profitable businesses is our history tour business. We have built up a profitable horse and carriage tour company in downtown Savannah. Our horse and buggy are stabled here in the back of our facility. We are looking for someone who would like to learn all about running and operating a stable. This would be hard work, and you would have to learn about all aspects of running a profitable stable. You would need to learn enough mathematics to deal with bills and expenses. You would also need to learn some basic veterinarian, farrier, and animal husbandry skills. We will supervise you, of course, but this would be a little more like a job than a scholarship, Ms. Mendel explained.
Crystal giggled and jumped up and down. Are you kidding? So my classes would actually be taking care of horses? Oh, Mama, can I please?
Ms. Bennett looked at her excited daughter and grinned.
So you sure it won't cost us anything?
Not a thing. In fact, Crystal will actually receive a small cut of the profits based on how successful she is, Ruby smiled.
Well, if you really want to stay all summer, it is fine with me, Ms. Bennett offered.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, thanks so much, Mama. And thank you so much, Ms. Mendel. I'm about as excited as Paula Deen eating an all-butter buffet.
The tiny girl launched herself across the desk and hugged her new benefactor.
Ruby blushed and then hugged the thrilled small girl back.
Bring anything you will need for the summer tomorrow. I will see you at 8 a.m.
As the excited mother and daughter duo left, Ruby could not help but grin.
You don't see kids get that happy about going to public school. It's times like this when I know the Mendel Academy is really working, she thought.
Scott, I am ready for the next family. Please send them back.
A large Greek woman entered wearing a sweater with an untucked button-down shirt sticking out the bottom of it and a plaid and pleather skirt. Her huge hair was adorned by a bow that was just as big as the massive tresses on her head. The Madonna-like outfit was a salute to 80s fashion and Savannah's finest yard sales. Mrs. Skouras and her daughter took their seats in front of the large desk. Ms. Mendel greeted the two.
I take it that you are Mrs. Skouras, and you must be Odessa. It is nice to meet you both. Thanks for dropping by today.
Mrs. Skouras and her daughter took their seats in front of the large desk.
Mrs. Skouras tried to sell her daughter. Thank you for the invite and considering my daughter for your prestigious school. I have heard about how hard it is to get into this place, and we are thrilled you want to take a look at Odessa. She is super smart and a really hard worker. My daughter was so bright, she even skipped a grade 2 years ago.
Well, Mrs. Skouras, we do a lot of research before you ever get an invite. Odessa's reputation exalts her. All the staff at the Georgia Historical Society speak so highly of her. They say she spends hours a day there researching local history just for fun.
It's true, Ms. Mendel. The only birthday present she wanted was a membership to the Georgia Historical Society so she can hang out there all summer.
Odessa, we at the Academy think you would be a perfect fit to intern at our historic carriage tour company. Our last student graduated, and now we have an open position, Ruby offered.
I've been researching your school and tours online, and I know all about them. I would love to help out, but what would you like me to do?
Wiki queried. Ruby continued,
To be frank, because there are so many tour companies in Savannah, we are starting to get lost in the crowd. I want to bring you in to dig up some new, interesting low country history to add to our tours. I'm hoping that if we provide you a summer scholarship here, you, in return, will help us design the newest and best Savannah history tour ever. What do you think?
Odessa looked at her mother for confirmation.
Sure, I think I can dig up some cool new stuff. I will need access to the internet and a way to get to Historical Society every day. If you can give me that, then I would love to do it.
Fantastic. We will see you here bright and early at 8 a.m. I have gone over all the details with your mom already over the phone, but if you have any questions, Odessa, feel free to ask.
Her mother chuckled. Oh, don't worry, she will. The one thing she knows how to do is ask questions.
Both mother and daughter shook Ms. Mendel's hand and showed themselves out.
Okay, Scott. Send in the last family.
A large black man in a black power suit entered with an aura of authority. A woman wearing a vibrant, colorful African dashiki dress with a matching hijab followed him in. Lastly, Mohammed entered wearing a polo shirt and khakis. The two males were wearing traditional kufias, or Muslim prayer caps. All three made introductions and had a seat.
Mr. and Mrs. Obuntu, thank you for bringing your son by for us to meet. I have really been looking forward to finally meeting your family. Mr. Obuntu responded in a thick Ugandan Kitara accent.
Thank you for your invitation. It is a big honor in my country of Uganda to be accepted in a top school. Education is very important to our family, and we make sure our children study very hard. Mohammed's mother spends many hours a day making sure our children excel at their schoolwork.
You have both done an excellent job. A friend of the academy heard your son play some very difficult compositions and was impressed. I think your son would be perfect for our school. Mohammed's parents ate up the flattery and smiled at each other. Ruby continued, This summer program would allow Mo to rapidly excel his skill level. He would be able to study any kind of music he chooses, as well as other instruments. Mr. Obuntu pointed his finger at Ruby as he cut her off.
Please call my son Mohammed, not Mo. It is disrespectful to our prophet to abbreviate his name. Our boy needs a strict lesson plan. He is too young to decide what he gets to do on his own. I am afraid our son is too lazy and disorganized to be trusted to study without supervision. He will reach the age soon that he won't have time for music and needs to learn how to make money.
Ms. Mendel tried a different approach. Part of his training emphasizes how to make money doing something he loves. What if we could show him how to make money with his music skills? Would that be acceptable? The skeptical Ugandan man scratched his beard and changed his mood.
How would our son use what he learns here to make money?
Well, most musicians fail because they don't know how to run a business or market themselves. They could be incredibly talented, but die penniless. We will show your son how to embrace new media like the internet to get his music discovered. Mrs. Obuntu finally chimed in, Can you guarantee he will make some money playing music this summer? Yes, and I will tell you how. Our academy needs a new music entertainer. He will be responsible for playing at school events and our alumni banquets. He will also find other avenues of making money with his talent that he will have to discover. In return, our school will give him food and board for the entire summer as well as a small paycheck based on his profit margin. Mohammed's parents locked eyes, judging telepathically how the other felt about the proposition. Both nodded in agreement.
So this would be a paid internship? The Ugandan man summarized.
Yes. Think of it like a summer job where he learns new and useful skills, Ruby re-summarized. Mr. Obuntu scratched his bearded chin again.
We are very practical, and we believe education should also be profitable. If you can meet all of Mohammed's other needs, I think I will allow him to try your program.
His needs? Ruby questioned.
He will have to check in with his mother every night in some form. We also demand that he strictly follow and observe all our laws and attend Friday prayer at the mosque. He will need a private place to pray 5 times a day, and we need your chef to respect his dietary requirements. We expect him to behave like a proper Muslim boy, and he should be supervised around all girls. Can you vow this will be done, Ms. Mendel?
We have had Muslim children at our school before, so I understand how important it is. We will see to it that he follows what you ask us to do. The powerful man warned,
I have to return to Uganda for the summer, and cannot bring my family with me. I expect you to stay in constant contact with my wife and let us know immediately if there are any problems.
Of course, we will contact you immediately, the blonde woman in the sundress responded.
Mohammed is too young to be trusted with his own money. Any money he earns will be mailed directly to his mother. Understood?
The father demanded. We can do that, Ruby smiled.
Very good. Now, thank this nice woman for accepting you into her school,
Mr. Obuntu commanded his son.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I can't wait, Mohammed said with excitement in his voice.
Please drop him off with everything he needs for the summer at 8 tomorrow morning. The family said their goodbyes and saw themselves out. A tall, bald, skinny man entered.
What did you think, Scott, of our new scholarship students?
Scott cocked his head while he was thinking.
Well, I think they have potential, but it could also be a disaster. I hope you know what you were doing and did not just make some decisions that will hurt the school's reputation. The alumni fundraiser is just around the corner, and I would be careful not to do anything that would jeopardize our funding. Again, I really hope you know what you are doing.
Ruby retorted, Think of it on the positive side. If these kids do what I think they can do, it will inspire donors to give money like they never have before.